Alrighty. Here we go. I think a lot of you have already started writing to Jacob, texting him at 98973, wanting to play the know-it-all quiz. That's good. We'll open the door. Teeny tiny lady making her way in now. She's coming in. The horses are bringing her in. And nice to see that. Oh, look at this, Tom. She's being brought in by the people. I assume they're all waiting in line. It's the people on the ferry.
You know, I invited you to my tea party, and you didn't even have any tea.
It is an infraction, so it does have to be observed by a law enforcement officer in order for action to be taken.
That's true,
okay.
It's true,
you need some kind of financial penalty to make it stick.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's what you're afraid of. Don't dive into the news! Alrighty. Hey, landlords, don't worry. The governor is extending the bridge. It's interesting. I see that comparing like King County to Pierce County and Snohomish County, we are, last thing I saw, way behind our neighbors. But the state of Washington, the governor steps in and says, don't worry, I'm going to extend this. What is he going to extend this for another, what, Tom? How far is this going to go? Let's see.
Just a month. So if I was a landlord, I'd find, although I'd be biting my tongue right now because I'd be unhappy, I think the fact that he only extended... The fact that he only extended it a month, unlike Jenny Durkin, who extended it till the end of the year, until January, I think that, to me, I would see that as an indication that they really don't want this to go all the way to the end of the year, and that maybe this next month at the end of October will finally be it.
I see.
That's the way I interpret it, at least.
I see. Well, so you take him at his word. This is the same man. If you look at his past performances, it's only going to be 15 days, then it's 30, then it's 6 months, and it's another 8 months. But you think it's just going to go to the end. Here we go.
Well, I don't know why he just didn't jump to the end like Seattle's already done then.
Because it's easier. You put the frog in the water.
Well, I think it's worse.
Statewide. Okay.
Why does he sound like he's in a glass container?
He's that frog.
I do believe he might have been wearing a mask again this time.
Is he not vaccinated?
No.
Oh,
he...
That's right. This is part of the game.
Eviction bridge for 30 days until the end of October to make sure that local governments have an opportunity to issue the rental relief that is now available to citizens.
Has been available.
This brief extension will help ensure that no one is evicted while large amounts of rental assistance funding is still available but unused. This bridge was currently set to expire, as you know, on September 30th, but we're hearing that counties need a little more time to be able to effectuate the rental relief that is available today to citizens. We have good reason to believe that counties will be able to move more quickly now, in part because the U.S. Treasury has changed some of their rules that makes it's much easier to distribute the money to citizens.
Okay, just to put this,
now
this could be old info. This is from the 19th of August. King County has distributed $6.5 million.
No, okay. I've got updated numbers, John. So what's far, they've spent... $34 million of the $145 million it received in the most recent chunk of funding.
Okay, so Pierce 34... County did 59% or $53 million of the money they got, and then these are also old numbers. Snohomish gave out 47 of the $57 million.
So here's the comparison in the Seattle Times says Snohomish and Pierce counties have spent about two-thirds of it. And Seattle, or King County, has only spent about 24% of it, has distributed.
So
and
here's
those are the three biggest.
Here's the pickle, right? That the landlords get in. If you apply for the program, then you cannot evict and you cannot raise the rent. So once you're sort of in that lane, they don't let you out of that lane. Then you have to file to get out of that lane and then begin an eviction notice for somebody. But if you're in the lane, waiting, still paying your taxes, still paying your water bill, still paying your electric bill, you're the landlord, you're making all those payments, you're still paying all the taxes, everything else, but you're not being paid. But you're going to be waiting in line for eventually to get paid by King County. The other ones seem to be able to get it out sooner. King County went with a Grant Care, I think is the name of the organization, out of Dallas. They paid them $500,000. I think they paid them already $200,000+ already to get a computer system in place to be able to have this stuff done. But here's the governor again talking about what's available.
Money intended to keep renters housed and keep landlords in business is available. And it needs to get distributed as soon as possible, obviously. And we're helping local leaders.
What was that? Something fell off the mask? What was that? What,
it sounded like a page turning.
No, page turn. Yeah. It was a page turn. Okay. By the way, just out of curiosity, this is all part of the CARES Act. I think this money got to them. Was it March of this year? When did they receive it? I know they. Yeah, I know
like
they
just had the most recent chunk of funding. So I don't know how long they had. It's the most recent one, though.
Right. Right. But, so they knew that they put the eviction thing in place. They knew they couldn't kick anybody out. They knew they would need to have the system in place. But it seems like, you know, slowly but surely, here we go.
We can't do that. We encourage our local governments to redouble their efforts and will continue to rely on the good faith partnership we've enjoyed with our state landlords as we navigate these extraordinary times. We think this extension provides ample time for these funds to get out to citizens. Our economy is improving, unemployment is down, and we're at the point where this makes sense.
What makes sense?
Okay. To extend it just a month, but only a month, because he thinks that should be ample timing, as he puts it, to get the rest of the money out. This does make sense, and I understand the frustration on the landlord's part, but if that money is also coming to help out the landlords, then if you can hold on for another 30 days, that's something.
And who else would it be that help out? The landlords are the one that
needs
to pay.
The renters,
the renters are in arrear. Yeah. It's the landlords. Yeah. Landlords have got their parts in the vice, not the renter. And as the renter's not paying the money, the federal government, which is all of us, I've given the money to the states, and the states are and the counties are slowly slapping it out to the landlords and getting it. And I don't do they get 100% back, or do they get 80%? Isn't it something that they basically take less on the dollar?
That was the concern that Hannah mentioned early in this week, I think, is that landlords think they're only going to get about 80% or something. Like it maybe would cover like 12 months, but not 18 months or something. And that's what they're concerned about in terms of the funding.
Okay. The governor had spoken a couple of days ago. I think he said something about we need to get more nurses and doctors because that's the thing. You get the people that are in the hospital. We need to get more staff. That was something was holding them back. KGW looked into Washington and Oregon both having problems with staffing.
This is a list from the Kaiser Family Foundation of hospital beds per capita in each state. The data from 2019 before the pandemic hit. You can see at the very top there, South Dakota with the most beds per 1,000 people, but then scroll all the way down to the bottom and you see Washington and Oregon tied for last place. How'd we get here? Well, I checked with the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems.
Who put that music in there? Did they do that, Jacob?
That's KGW's decision.
KGW going all,
They say it all started back in 2012 after the Affordable Care Act was signed into law by President Obama. Uh-huh. That allowed then-Governor John Kitzhaber to create what are called coordinated care organizations. Those are groups of healthcare providers focused on helping people manage and prevent chronic conditions and diseases here in Oregon. The idea is to stop people from needing hospital care in the first place. So because of that, the state regulates the number of hospital beds so there aren't a bunch of empty ones sitting around. If a hospital wants to expand, the state has to make sure the extra beds are actually needed in that area before signing off on it. Dave Northfield from the...
Did you get that, everybody? So you have to go to the government and ask the government, can we build another facility? Can we put more beds in place? The government then determines whether or not you can.
Association told me this system works great until you have a pandemic combined with a hospital staffing crisis. The system created one of the lowest per capita hospital bed numbers in the country, and it used to be talked about with pride. Now we know it can be a problem. Now, we should mention adding more beds right now won't necessarily fix the problem we're having during the surge. Beds need to be staffed by workers who can actually care for patients. And, you know, as Dave mentioned, there's a big hospital staffing shortage in Oregon. To make matters worse, the Oregon Nurses Association has warned the state's vaccine mandate is going to contribute to that shortage.
Okay, so it's called Certificate of Need. We looked this up, and the federal government started this thing in the late 60s. Basically, it was the government telling its management control, supply control by the government to tell people whether or not they can build a hospital or an additional facility or buy equipment. And Washington has this. There's 33 states that have this certificate of need. It is Karl Marx would love this sort of thing. And in the state of Washington, let's say you have a business and you want to open a hospital. You go to the board that makes the determination. And guess who's on that board, Tom?
Hospitals.
Yeah, hospitals. And that would be your competition. So this would be like a new radio station wants to open up down the street, has to go and get a license, and sitting on the board are the people from Bonneville. And they said, meh, yeah, we don't really need another radio station down the street. So this is the creation of monopoly through the government. You have this in Oregon and Washington. The American Medical Association said certificates of need are a failure. They don't save money. They reduce overall quality of care, and it reduces the supply available to people that may or may not need it. So we are stuck with it here in the state of Washington. I checked to see. We weren't really able to knock it down. Same thing in Oregon. They have the government control of the supply of hospital beds.
Okay. The thing is, this is a debate. I had never even heard of this issue until today, to tell you the truth. But the idea behind it, and the majority of the country still has this, it's to limit healthcare spending. And that seems like a good thing. The other argument in favor of these kinds of programs is that this allows the state to distribute care to what they consider disadvantaged populations or geographic areas. The concern is that for-profit hospitals may be less willing to provide, say, indigent care. So it's a way to kind of smooth things out. That's neither here nor there in terms of this particular issue, though, because as the KGW article says, whether you have hospital beds or not is irrelevant if you don't have the staff. But right. It is true. I mean, even the people that are in support of this approach, which is to save money, acknowledges that
it doesn't save money, though. But it doesn't save money. But go on.
That's the idea behind it.
Sure, and, that's the idea.
It guarantees a fair distribution, perhaps. But even then, he says it's not designed to handle a pandemic. It makes sense. It's a bit like we want to really run our household with a really tight grip on how we spend our money, and we decide not to spend it on things that we don't need all the time, and then all of a sudden your car conks out and you go, well, we didn't plan for that spending. Then it's the emergency situations that you're not system is not designed for. And if pandemics are more common than not, then maybe this is that may be another reason to chuck it, because one of the problems about the whole care of need issue is that it can have unintended consequences in the long term, and now we're seeing exactly that.
Right. So I looked up states that have gotten rid of certificate of need. They are doing quite well. I looked at Colorado. So Colorado, similar population, similar demographics. And they got rid of it. They don't have to go to the government to ask whether or not they need to build another facility. So the state of Washington has had limited number of beds for a while, and we've been sort of lucky about total amount of population. Normally the beds run at about 63% full, so we have additional strain on top. You're right. Plus, also, we don't have the nursing staff available. We don't have the doctor staff available, because we also limit the amount of doctors and nurses that could possibly be working, because the government determines how many hospital beds we're allowed to build. This is under this control government telling the private sector how many beds they can have. It would be nice to see if eventually they get rid of something like this. But you do see the pattern that goes through it. And as I said, the American Medical Association said it was a failure, didn't reduce the cost any more than 2%. But overall, reduced care by 10%, and you're running at a deficit, and we just seem to luck out for the longest time. But anyway, this is the this is what we have.
Does it at least support prevent? So the idea behind this was that it would redirect things so fewer people would need hospital beds. It was more into preventative care. Is there any stat, because you have this stats on preventive care?
Right. This is the idea that let's spend money on mommy and daddy programs, telling people to eat right, to exercise, to stop smoking, to preventative
care. Well, that's good if it works.
Yeah, does it?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Maybe we don't have the stats on this, but preventative care is a much more streamlined way for hospital needs or medical care.
Right.
If that works.
Right. But it's smart if it worked. Does it work? I don't know. It would seem like if it doesn't actually function, you give it a certain amount of years or whatever and say, okay, are reducing the number of people going in? Are we reducing diabetes? Are we reducing obesity? I would say no. Obesity and diabetes go hand in hand. Do we still have other problems when it comes to cardiac problems? Do we have other problems when other diseases? Have we reduced the number of people smoking? I don't know if ultimately you have less people in beds. But again, it's state control when it comes to the design part. I hadn't known about that and did a bunch of research on it, sent it to you guys, and we end up with Oregon and Washington having limited amount of space available. By the way, Jacob, are people writing in? Oh, I wanted to get to Conor McGregor. And we don't have time. Do I have time for Conor?
Yeah, it's short. We can do it.
Here he is. He sang, by the way, he's never been to a baseball game, Tom. Never been to a baseball game. Never been to Chicago.
Take me out to the ball game.
Never heard the song before.
Take me up in the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
All right.
I don't care if I never get back.
All right, a little pitchy, dog.
So
decided to go under the note, and then later on when people went after him for singing that way.
I've spent a lot of time, Joe, slating everybody in the company. Backstage, I'm starting fights off everybody. I've ridiculed everyone on the roster. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
Love that
Your
guy.
Favorite clip of all
Love
time.
Love that guy. Love him. He was mad that they didn't have both belts out there for him. All right. By the way, do we have somebody play the know-it-all quiz?
We do.
Good. Good. Wow, way to entice us with that, Jake.
Well, he's someone who got confused about, we made a big deal about the number 12.
Oh.
And so he provided a fact that had to do with the number 12. He thought
perfect,
that's what we wanted.
Perfect,
but
perfect. This is like the show's produced or something. Oh, here we go. This is it. Everybody's been waiting for this. Kids gather around the radio set. This is it. This is the Know-It-All Quiz, brought to you by absolutely no one other than Tom, myself, Jacob, and in this case, Chris Martin. Wow. All right. All righty. Let's meet our contestant now. Here we go. His name is Wayne. He's a nursing student, and he's from Paulsbo. He's 49, and he thought it would be fun to get a fun fact about the number 12, so we asked his daughter's birthday, and she's turning 12 today. And that fits in with something that happened earlier in the show that apparently we're going to just beat into the ground. Wayne, congratulations and welcome to the show. Say hi to Tom.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Wayne. What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Michelle.
Nice.
Happy
nice.
Birthday, Michelle.
Well done. By the way, Wayne, awesome. To get into nursing at the age of 49, you're thinking, okay, I got to get my prereqs. By the time I get out, I'm going to be, what, 50?
84, yeah.
84? Okay, good. So, then just tuck yourself right into that bed, turn yourself over, and clean your own bedpan. You're all set to go. No, honestly,
exactly.
What?
Yeah.
To make it, obviously, we're doing something prior to getting into nursing. What were you doing before?
I had been in construction, but I was a CNA med tech previously, and spent about the last 5-6 years trying to get into nursing school, and finally made it.
Oh, good for you, because it is not easy. You know, we need nurses, and you had to have all sorts of great grades and everything, because as you said, it is highly competitive. By the way, after working in construction, a lot of those calluses and you know, the sort of things that might hurt a patient, are they off your hands at this point?
Never.
Okay, good. Well, keep that in mind if you're...
He wears gloves.
Flying bandages.
Exactly.
Good. All right, well, this is terrific. We're a big fan. I know you're a big fan of the show. Did you happen to listen yesterday, Wayne?
I did, yes.
Oh, boy.
I try to listen every day.
Good. Well, that's good. That's the doctors recommend Fantastic. That at least 4 times a week. All right, well, listen, the tone and tenor is about to change, and since you listened yesterday... Wayne, I got
Still
news
not going
to
help.
You're going to relive it. You're going to relive all of it. So here we go. You ready?
Don't you need Felix, though?
No, we got... Hey, Wayne.
Okay. All
right.
I'm quiet.
Yeah. Dr. Sidelines, just hang
he's
back.
He's a bossy nurse.
Don't worry. Felix will be here. We have sound of Felix. So here we go. Ready? All right. So Felix talked about D.B. Cooper, and he really went into in-depth. He went all the way down to Portland Airport. to retrace the steps. I can't believe he did that. What concourse did D.B. Cooper use to board an airplane, which he would later hijack and parachute out of with $200,000 in cash? Tom?
A. Who? Mm-hmm. B. What are we talking about?
Good, good, good.
Or C. Course L.
We'll go with C, I guess, for this one.
Concourse L, it's right off the main terminal.
Yeah, there you go. Concourse L.
Tricky question.
At this point, it's a little harder than getting into nursing school. All right, Tom, at this point.
I wish the questions were like that.
They're going to get more difficult, Wayne. At this point, how many does Wayne have correct, Tom?
Wayne is one for one, making Michelle proud.
Here we go. In order to board the plane, what level did the passenger have to go to, Tom?
A, lower level. Mm-hmm. B, are we still talking about E.B. Looper? Or C, huh?
Let's go with A.
Flight 305 boarded from gate 52, which is just the second gate down from the concourse from the main terminal. Passengers went to the lower level and then boarded the 727 via the built-in stairs in the rear door of the jet.
I'm on the edge.
I thought Felix wasn't there.
I know. It's like, you know, it's amazing. I feel like I'm right there. Like, somebody stop that man. He's got a parachute. Here we go. Okay. Is Concourse L still there? Tom.
A. Where? Good. B. Yes. Mm-hmm. C. Concourse L is gone.
Wayne, I need an answer.
If I go with A, is it still correct? I guess we'll go B.
Now, Concourse L is gone, but in its place is Concourse C.
Oh, that's a shame. That's
you got
a shame.
One wrong.
That's a shame. All right. And here we go. This is for all the, I don't even know what you're playing for. Oh, that's right. A giant 12. Ready?
Right.
For all, here we go. For you, Wayne. Now, when you plan your pilgrimage to the Portland airport this year, what gate should you go to retrace the steps of D.B. Cooper?
A. What is the prize I'm playing for, Jacob?
Good, Tom.
B, C7. Mm-hmm. Or C, B7.
Oh, Wayne, come on now. Come on.
Oh, I was going to say C7. It's like my battleship. B7.
If I were you, I'd go with your first instinct. It's like when you're nursing. I'd go with a battleship, and you're going to do a catheter on somebody. I go with the first instinct. It's going to be what?
Don't miss.
Don't miss or C.
B.
Jacob?
So the closest spot to the D.B. Cooper gate, if anyone wants to make a pilgrimage, I guess would probably be gate C7.
There we go! Wow! Woo! Boy, you combine the excitement of the know-it-all quiz, Jacob's description of the prize,
and Felix
talking about D.B. Cooper and Wayne's daughter's birthday, Michelle? I mean, come on, huh?
I can't believe it. Can't even believe it.
I know. If you had to take the pulse of this patient and they were suffering from an erratic heart rate, what would that consider? What would you diagnose the patient with this type of excitement, Wayne?
I would probably have to go with tachycardia.
Tachycardia.
Although I'm only in week 4 of school, so we haven't got that far yet.
All right. So I would
He's
stick
a September with student.
I would stick with C7, though, if you're going to be retracing the steps. You got that one right. All right, and again, we'll take the music out just momentarily so Jacob can tell you what you won.
Nice.
A big flag with the number 12 on it.
All right.
Thanks, Wayne. Take care of that daughter of yours. Happy 12th to her. Good luck nursing school.
Happy birthday to her.
I'm suffering some tachycardia over here.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye, Wayne.
Yeah, that was
4
great.
Weeks he's been in already. Good. All right. All right. You ready? little bit of that mailman song to get us into this. I know Sean has trouble with it, so we asked. Sean is actually in therapy because he has such a hard time with this song, Tom. So he's taking some time off. That's good to know. And there it is, the whole song. There's the mailman coming up.
Chris's favorite.
I know, Chris loves it too, yeah. Yep, right there. All right, teeny tiny lady. She's right over there in the jar. Big hello to you. Big hello to you, and yeah, my computer back on, so I can broadcast like a professional.
There hello!
There we go. All right, Tom, we'll get to all the letters. First, let's take care of these right here. Here we go.
Okay, we'll start off with the ferry lines. They're going to be getting some more observations, shall we say. Area code 425 says, this is what we're spending taxpayers' dollars on for law enforcement? People cutting in line at the ferries?
What? 360, I use the insanity defense. I carpool with my imaginary friends. Okay, that's good.
And here we get one from Sully, none other than Sully himself.
Yeah.
Throwing John under the HOV violation bus is one of my life's simple pleasures.
Thank you, Sully. Hugh and Raymond says, Dory always says that if he was governor, he'd have a helicopter to pick up slow drivers in the left lane and drop them in the nearest lake.
Dory for governor. Area code 360. Clearly the most viable solution is to empower citizens to take legal action against the people cutting in line. $10,000 a pop. Thank you, Texas.
That would work. Vaccine requirements. Nick from Orca says, I'm guessing the city doesn't want to see their health insurance rates go through the roof because they have a few idiots on the payroll that refuse to get vaccinated.
And area code 425. The unvaccinated will know they are sick because they are symptomatic. They can stay home when sick. Problem solved.
All right. Tax rates. People don't understand that most very wealthy people are only wealthy on paper. If they don't understand the stock market or how dumping stocks can affect the market, they should probably go back and watch Trading Places. Okay.
And area code 206. Jeff Bezos' salary is $80,000 a year. He's the richest man on the planet. Can you honestly say that his lifestyle is equivalent to someone else who makes $80,000 a year? Which one gets to fly in his own private plane? Which one has multiple mansions around the world? Which one can afford to build the largest yacht ever made? Which one gets to fly above the earth and write it off on his taxes as a business expense because he owns Blue Origin? Which one gets to afford the best tax consultants in America so he can pay even fewer taxes? There's no equivalency in the lifestyles of the two $80,000 a year salary earners.
Which one has created more jobs than anyone else on the planet? Behind enemy lines, Annie from the road less traveled. Hey ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Friday Eve. That's right, fellas. It's pell-mell, willy-nilly, a whack-a-mole world we live in, isn't it? It's easy to miss the small pleasures lost on the minutiae. So today, when Curly, man of a thousand voices, two to three, actually, good ones, Curly added sound effects to the description of the coffin kick, and I was transported back to the old Adam West Batman, laughed iced tea out of my nose. That's it, fellas. Enjoy the rest of your week. And, of course, go Pats. Okay.
Yeah, you got to hear Curly's Adam West routine. 9-year-old ghost boy. Yeah, a coffin kick is when a couple's having sex in the coffin and you go up to it and kick it and tell them to knock it off.
Hey, ghost boy. That didn't help. 253, what happened to the hot dog guy? All I wanted to do was have a hot dog. Is it too hard to ask for? I couldn't, my computer wouldn't get the hot dog guy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Equipment failure, right? Yes. Child tax credit business, area code 206. Curly,
yes.
My household makes $100,000 with a child. Biden isn't giving me money per se. Rather, the IRS is taxing me less. It isn't a handout. Rather, it's allowing my family to bring home a little more home.
Okay. 425, Republicans are offering a compromise, not a money give out. Okay.
On John's auction, Michael in the 206. John,
yes.
I hope these new friends of yours in the club aren't influencing you to wear women's clothes and bury your food in holes. The 22 rounds on the fire are okay, though.
I have heard bad news from people that have thrown live ammunition on fires. Not recommended. Oh, my gosh. Is Nick from Orcas again? I could not help but think of the clip of The Office when Curly was talking about wearing women's clothes. I actually asked Jacob to play the clip.
Pam, would you please tell Daryl that this is not a woman's suit?
Oh, my God. That's a woman's suit.
You're wearing a woman's suit?
No, I do. I wear men's suits. Okay? I got this out of a bin.
A bin, yeah. That's
you are Michael Scott. Congratulations, John Curley.
Sometimes that can happen.
The apotheosis of your career.
Thank you. Hospital beds, 425. Tom, please stop saying a bad idea about hospitals is a good idea. Okay. That'll teach you, okay. Tom.
When I do, I won't. Rachel's Travels. Andy on the road, less traveled.
Again.
Hi-ho, fellas, and happy. Yeah.
Wow.
Whatever. As you know, I'm not an authority on much, but Maine is one of my areas of expertise. One, our Belle spent so much on the lobster roll because she was twixt seasons. The summer folk have left, and it ain't quite time for leaf peepaws. Uh-huh. And two, black flies are having spring occurrence, hence the rangy Black Fly Festival being held every May.
Tom, I'm going to interrupt you here just because I didn't think we'd get all the way down to this letter, and there are certain words that Andy uses that I'm not sure we're supposed to use on here. But he does have a lot of thoughts on Maine and what we got wrong or right about it.
Oh, so. I see that. Yeah. Some bad ones.
Okay.
Some bad ones in there.
Hot dogs! Hot dogs! Yeah.
Covering that one up. 425. Hey, John, I just want to run something by you. Okay, I was at the state... Sorry, no time for that. No time. Teeny tiny lady, she's right over there. She's got the letter of the day. Here we go.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day, Tom.
Comes from an old standby, Stu, in Burbank.
Oh, good.
You know that commercial where the guy I can't get into his hotel room?
Yeah.
The front desk clerk gave him the wrong room number for some reason?
Yeah.
He should have told him, you're an eight. You're an eight. You're an eight.
You're an eight.
You're an eight.
That's all wow, she wrote.
That's
all
she old. Didn't write you got that one. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
She left the gloom behind. God.
Tracy.
That was... That, I don't even know
That's
how to
follow
up.
That's a long story.
Yeah, okay.